the voice was, we are the eternal servants of the universe, and we have to do deep work on you today. And so that was where I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't want deep work done on me today. I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't ready for this kind of like contact or whatever this is. I didn't want a visionary experience, yet I took the amount that I should have taken for a visionary experience. And then when it happened, I was like, ah, fuck.
Well, I'm trying to get some sleep, but these motel walls are cheap. Lincoln Duncan is my name, and here's my song. Here's my song.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank episode 179. Happy Shroom Fest. All right, here's the deal. I'm releasing this early. On today's episode, do you guys know about Shroom Fest? It's an international holiday where people all over the world take mushrooms. It doesn't exist in a time or place. No, it does exist in a time, not a place. The time is right now. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. August 9th, 10th, and 11th. Everyone all over the world, not everyone, a lot of people all over the world are taking mushrooms. That's all you got to do to participate. Take some mushrooms. So I figured for once I'd be responsible and record a podcast ahead of time instead of trying to upload one Monday afternoon. Plus, I'm going to be out of commission and away from the internet on Monday. So I won't be able to upload. So today's episode, one of my gurus for mushrooms, a guy who's taught me a lot about them through his experience and through his reading, Mr. Duncan Trussell. Duncan has a podcast called the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, which is amazing. If you guys are looking for more podcasts to listen to, if you don't know about him, you probably do. Probably everybody who listens to mine knows about his, but you should give it a chance. If you haven't listened to it, you should really go any episode. I've been on a couple of them, but Duncan's great. So I went over to his apartment in Los Angeles, and we just talked about mushrooms. So enjoy, everybody. It's Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 179. A fun guy with Duncan Trussell. Two dates real quick. In Brooklyn, New York. Everyone in New York, come out August 21st to the Bell House. You can get tickets on my website, arithegreat.com. You can also always find all the music I use in the episodes on my website, arithegreat.com. It's all there every week, except like a few weeks. And details from the podcast will be there too. So there's a few videos Duncan mentioned. I'll put those up. And then in Chicago, August 27th, I'll be running my hour with Nick Youssef will be there in Zanies in Chicago. And then Miss Pat will be doing a guest spot for me. So get that. Get those tickets. August 21st, New York. August 27th, Chicago. And I'm starting to schedule three more dates now. Right before, I believe I might do my special October 29th. That looks like the date. I don't have a location yet. And then I got Calgary coming up in September. I got Denmark. I'm going to go to Oktoberfest with my brother. London for about a week. Then I'm going to come back, work hard for three straight weeks on the road, get everything in order, and then record my new hour. Probably called Ari Shaffir Home. You guys, I love Shroomfest. I need it. Sometimes you need it. Once a year or so. You really need to like regroup. It's a good reset for your mind if you haven't done it yet. Let's start the episode. Also, next year, Shroomfest is, let me see, I have it here, August 29th, 30th, and 31st. In 2016, it's July 16th, 17th, 18th. 2017, it's July 8th, 9th, and 10th. And 2018, it's August 25th, 26th, 27th. You guys, it's always when there's like a full moon or near full moon. And this year, on Monday, there's going to be a meteor shower. And if you're not participating in Shroomfest, it's also going to be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So look up in the sky Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There's supposed to be like 80 meteors an hour. That should be pretty fucking cool. Really, I think everyone should take mushrooms and it helps reset. I'll talk a little bit more about it in the outro. But you guys, let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 179, a fun guy with Duncan Trussell. Here we go. Happy Shroomfest.
Well, good morning, my friends. Today we shall discuss the mushroom. Yeah, how many of you like mushrooms? Ah, yes, very nice, very good. Now, how many of you like psychedelic mushrooms? Ah, well, that looks like all of you then. Alrighty, let's go find some. Form a single file line behind me. Walk slow. Follow me, kids. Come on now. Come on, you can do this. Let's go.
What have these mushrooms all done to my mind?
Into my mind.
Running through the pines.
Running through the pines.
My head feels wrapped in twine.
Wrapped in twine.
What have these mushrooms all done with my mind?
What have they done with my mind?
Mushrooms I won't decline. Washing down red wine.
My life goes better with a mushroom. I seem like I'm in a bit of mood when I'm on a mushroom. Clouded up when I'm packing a boom. Cut, cut, kaboom. Hear the maniac sounds of a motherfucking shroom.
That. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Daniel Pitchback. I like how the mushroom here collects water.
A vision.
Is that what it looks like?
Oh, yeah.
It's all turned up.
It's a little fairy swimming pool. Yeah, this is cool. But it's
Eric Roper.
What's that?
Eric Roper. What's his name?
Arik or Eric. I'm not sure. Let's see here.
This looks Scandinavian. Shrooms with a view. Shroom with a
it's
view.
Good. It's, you know, well, here's the thing, man. Are we rolling?
Yeah.
You're an enthusiast, obviously.
Yeah.
You created this wonderful holiday, and it's cool to watch the various mushroom enthusiasts, but this is a great little essay here.
Mushrooms?
Mushrooms are all about appearances. They emerge in the dark of night or the blink of an eye, and sometimes disappear just as quickly. Now you see them, now you don't. No wonder the ancients thought they were germinated by thunderbolts. They don't seem to grow out of the soil so much as to pop out of thin air. And now we know that the mushrooms that do show up on the surface of things are themselves just transient representatives of a more lasting organism. The branching tangle of multicellular fungal threads that lies hidden beneath the soil, under certain conditions of temperature and moisture, this inner net of mycelium, sometimes vast and sometimes ancient, sends up fruiting bodies like periscopes in order to distribute reproductive spores. The mushroom, then, is already an icon of itself, appearing in our visible world of fields and forests like an avatar of some deeper, subtler spirit. Pretty cool.
You're a good reader, man.
Thank you so much, Ari. Yeah, I just learned to
read. No, but I mean, even like you're reading that for the first time, right?
That is every morning when I wake up, I read that.
Okay, because you're reading as if you already knew it.
Pretty cool, though, huh?
Yeah.
I love that aspect
Eric
of mushrooms.
Roper. What? The fact that they just grow anywhere. They're not really in the dirt.
Well, they're not, like when you pluck a mushroom,
yeah,
you're not killing the organism. You're plucking
moving
an apple. You're not moving it. It's mycelium underneath that it's growing up out of, this strange spider web underneath the soil. That's what the mush. So when you're walking through the forest and it hasn't rained in a while, you're probably walking above mycelium.
Wow.
And it just hasn't rained yet.
And as soon as it rains, it comes closer to the surface?
So, and they pop up so fast. Like all of a sudden, they're just there, quick. Blink of an eye.
We were jumping into the water in Hong Kong. We were jumping off this boat in a bay, and as it got warmer, the jellyfish just started rising up.
Wow!
Yeah, it looked just like cool. That. Where it was like, whoa, they weren't here a second ago. Now they're seven.
Hold on, let's pause it.
It's okay.
And we're back.
We're back.
Man, this dog is not bad.
He is a sweet little guy.
We should have more meat on him. It feels like one of those where it's like the bone is right there.
Well, we don't feed him.
Oh.
Hadn't fed him for a week. We're doing an experiment.
Wonder. It's wiry that way.
Yeah, keeps them wiry, keeps them fresh. They smell better.
Yeah. The way fat people don't smell good.
A lot of people don't know if your dog smells funny. Just don't feed it for 2 weeks sometimes. Generally one, but maybe two. Joke. That's a joke. You realize when you, after you get to a certain audience size, yeah, there's like some awful
there's gonna
percentile.
There's going to be somebody who's going to be like, what the fuck?
A terrible percentile. That percentile.
I call for a boycott.
You know, man, that's something I've been thinking about. What? Is what's done more damage to the world? Like, okay, like, that one percentile or the dumb people,
mm-hmm,
who listen to anything. Like after you get to like, I don't know how, like per 1,000. I don't mean just normal dumb like we are, just normal dumb. I'm talking about like.
Well, you can't even get through to them. You can't even sit him down together alone in a room. Like, here's actually what you should know this was about.
That's
you still
it.
Won't accept it.
Nothing. You can't touch them. They're in a dream. Yeah. They're basically sleepwalking. You're never going to get through to whatever's happening deep, deep under that shell of resistance to all things. That percentile.
Yeah.
I don't know what the percentile is, but is it 1 per 1,000? Or is that being optimistic? Like, every out of 1,000 people.
Let's say it's 1.
Okay, 1 per 1,000, right? Yeah. So here's my question. So then you could look at the human population, right? And you could say, okay, however many billions of people there are, you could actually calculate how many of these deeply entrenched, for lack of a better word, dumb people there are in the world right now,
yes.
right?
Yeah,
so
the math.
Whatever that number is, my question is this. How many Hitlers does that represent as far as damage to the world? Because, like, Hitler...
Hitler wasn't one of those people.
He wasn't a dumb person.
No.
But you could say that Hitler was, like... One Hitler equals, what, 50,000 dumb people and the amount of damage he did to the world?
Oh, like damage. That
Yeah. How many, you know what I mean? Like, how many, is it 100,000 deeply idiotic, dumb people equal one Hitler? Because then you begin to realize, like, oh, shit, they're doing way more damage to the world than Hitler ever did.
Oh, yeah.
Way more damage.
To creativity? Yeah, Hitler.
To everything. To everything. They're polluting. They're the ones who make it so that we have to have drug laws. They're the ones who make it so
they can't handle it right.
Yeah. They're the ones who make it so there has to be gun laws.
Yeah, you try to tell those people about marijuana, they're like, I mean, come on, man. I think you're being ridiculous now. And you're like, no, can you just hear the statistics that no one's ever overdosed?
Yeah.
What are we talking about ridiculousness for? And you're like, no.
Yeah. You stumble upon one of those.
Yeah.
And all it'll do is, like, at the very worst, slow a conversation down, maybe ruin a conversation. Like, some of them are professional conversation.
They will ruin a conversation.
Yeah. But you take one conversation ruiner and multiply it times 1,000, that's not a conversation ruiner anymore. That's a neighborhood ruiner.
This is why nobody talks to each other in New York, because there's so many of those 1,000 peoples.
Right.
That it's not just like in a town of 5,000, you know who they are. It's Bob. It's his wife that he lives on the street with. It's Tommy. You stay away from them. In New York, then there's 9 million people in Manhattan. There's like 1,800 of those, you know?
There you go.
They're like, there's enough that are going to be fucking ridiculous.
There you go. They're dangerous, man.
Yeah.
They're dangerous.
And they start fights for no reason. Like, why are we going to violence when this isn't even an argument?
They believe in – they're the ones who believe – they're the ones chopping off heads in Iraq.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are – they're just behind everything that results ultimately in, like, kids getting exploded. Like, if you – which would you rather have? Here's a good question.
Yeah.
One Hitler.
Yeah.
Or 100,000 deep idiots.
Still say probably 100,000 deep idiots.
I don't know, man. You can fight one Hitler.
Are they all together, these deep idiots?
No, you kill Hitler.
Yeah.
You kill Hitler.
Yeah.
So obviously.
Oh, yeah, you can't kill the 100,000.
You can't stop them.
Right.
You can't stop them. Why?
They keep coming.
We deserve to believe what we want to believe.
Shut up. Get out of here.
You can't do anything about it. You can't stop it.
Are we playing God? Get out of here.
We believe all Jews should die. We believe all Palestinians should die. We believe all... You know what I mean? It's like it's the exact same...
Well, your beliefs are dumb. I don't care for them.
Yeah.
Stop. Get out of here. Yeah, I heard sometimes if you're more than 50 or 30 IQ points higher or lower than somebody, you really can't communicate.
Mm.
Like, you just won't ever be able to really connect with each other.
You know, I think you can communicate. You just can't communicate with language. What? You know, like, if I was just around my nephew, and there's a definite communication that's going on.
Oh, right. And he's lower than you.
You don't have to articulate anything. It's just things where he's like, oh, I can, my fingers go in my mouth. Wow. And then you smile, and he's like, I know. I didn't know that happened.
That's crazy what you just did.
Yeah.
I do got humor, because I know that things that are out of the ordinary are funny.
Yeah.
So if you're like, woo, woo, they're like, what the fuck, man? That's not how everyone else is.
My brother said he saw the baby laugh for the first time, because you get to watch that happen.
The baby he stole?
What?
The baby he stole?
Yeah. This baby, prior to my theft, my brother said that he saw him laugh for the first time, and something happened out of the ordinary. I can't remember what it was, but it made him laugh, and he'd never laughed before.
Yeah.
So he laughed, and then he started crying because he got scared because he had done this brand new thing, and it made him start crying. He, like, shocked himself with a laugh. It's all new, man.
Oh, he started crying.
Because it was like he never laughed, so he didn't know what it was. Like, it came out of him. Yeah.
That's funny. So you want to talk about mushrooms? Can
sure.
we do that?
For Shroom Fest.
Yeah, for Shroom Fest. I'll release this on Sunday night.
Yeah, let's do it.
So you had a long history with them.
Yes,
when did
I
you
have.
First do them?
The first time I did mushrooms was at my friend Brent's house in North Carolina.
Asheville?
Hendersonville, North Carolina.
Where'd you grow up before college?
So North Carolina is what I say, but I traveled all over. I've been everywhere.
Okay.
But I spent a lot of time in North Carolina. High school, most of junior high school, most of elementary school. Ended up in Maryland somewhere over the course of that time. But mostly, that's why I say North Carolina. It's just easier.
Yeah.
But this was in... I'd already done acid a bunch of times.
Wow, really?
I did mushrooms.
Oh.
Yeah.
Those are pretty similar, too.
Yeah, they are. They do have similarities. I don't anymore because it's a stupid and pointless argument.
What?
But people have opinions where they'll say...
Which one's better?
Acid's better. I think I like LSD better than mushrooms.
That's it. I like this better. That's what it is.
Yeah.
This is better.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, more. Your first 5 years of the talent winner, you're like, hey, dude, we got to find some acid. I can't find any acid out here.
Yeah. Couldn't find it. When I first came out, I found it because my landlord knew about all these like hidden deep raves. But somewhere after that, I just lost track of it and couldn't find it anymore. I obviously have not taken LSD in the last 15 or 20 years, but for the sake of playing the character that I play and my brand,
yeah.
I'll say that recently I did take LSD.
You've taken LSD in 15 or 20 years?
No. Of course I have. That's my brand because you can't, because it's illegal, you know, and so it's important to know that anytime I talk about taking
acid. Far in the past?
Way in the past. And
just past the statute of limitations.
In any kind, exactly. And for my brand, I will make up having taken acid because it sounds good.
Stupid ass.
So I will say, because it fits in, you know, it fits in with who I am. So with the image I'm trying to project out there. Look around my apartment. Pictures of Richard Nixon. I'm clearly a Republican.
Maybe I'm missing those.
So anyway.
Yeah.
All that being said, when I took it recently at a vineyard, and I hadn't taken it in so long, and I was so nervous because I'm used to eating marijuana, right?
Yeah.
I've been eating marijuana so much because you live in LA. It's so easy to get. I love eating it. But man, if you know, it can take you into some pretty deep paranoid places. So that's kind of what I'm used to with psychedelics that I've been taking. And I consider marijuana when you eat it a low level psychedelic. So
yeah, there are sometimes where I'm like, what was it?
Yeah, it's not a hallucinogen. And there is a lot of people think psychedelic and hallucinogen mean the same thing. So if you say ecstasy is a psychedelic, someone might say no, it isn't.
Yeah, I always said no. Well, what do you mean by psychedelic then?
Well, psychedelic's a phrase that got made up.
Oh.
So it wasn't like a word that always existed. It's a phrase that got made up because they wanted to come up with a word that was less frightening sounding than hallucinogen. Right. And they wanted to come up with a word that described the chemicals, organic and synthetic, that create an altered state of consciousness, a kind of expansion of consciousness, or a shift in personality, or all the variants in that. I think that encompasses so many different.
Yeah, marijuana would do that, shift in personality.
Absolutely. And if you
think things more beautiful and
colors get a little more vivid,
crying in movies,
you'll cry at movies, man.
Yeah.
And MDMA, same thing.
Yeah.
So I was expecting when I took acid, there was that part of me that is always there whenever I eat marijuana, which is like, let's hope this isn't a trip where I get dragged through hell by the horse of paranoia for 5 hours. And then there was this moment as it starts kicking in where you're like, oh shit, here it comes. I can feel it.
It's nerve-wracking.
Weird buzzing in the body. And then all of a sudden, when it finally started like really working, it was like, oh, this is why I love this stuff. It's beautiful. Yeah. Life is so beautiful. My God, I'm so happy to be alive. I'm so happy to be alive. I can't believe I lost track of the fact that this is the most incredible thing there is. And
this
then that's what it gives you. And that's why I like it. And that's
why I like mushrooms.
That's why I like LSD.
LSD, okay.
Because whenever I take mushrooms,
yeah,
what happens is LSD is like
I feel like I get the same thing on mushrooms as that. But maybe not. Go ahead. Just keep describing.
Whenever I take mushrooms in high enough doses, I inevitably have a connection with some kind of like personified thing that isn't me. It feels
whenever
like
you take what?
Mushrooms.
Okay.
Feels like something's talking to me or communicating to me or giving me some information. It feels like...
Oh, and with acid, you don't have that.
No. With acid, you get the same kind of message, but the message is...
Comes from within?
Isn't wrapped up in a... In the form of a
talking to nature
swarm of fucking elves or a tree that wants to, you know, send a message to you or some disembodied alien intelligence that's trying to like communicate with you about some important thing in the world that you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
With acid, it's more of a, yes, this is great. But that's that's not a high dosage. I'm sure if you take a high enough dosage of acid, you could have communications with
the aliens.
I always
found that hallucinations are like way bigger on acid, where you're like seeing things. You're seeing a little guy going, "Hello, you gonna follow me?" And on mushrooms, I've never seen that. I've seen stuff go like swim and stuff a little bit. Like if you look at the grains of sand.
I never had that kind of thing on acid where something.
And you have had it on mushrooms?
On mushrooms, I've had. I can remember on mushrooms.
Yeah.
Holding my hand underwater, looking at my hand underwater, and it's completely transparent except for a grid of like hexagonal lines, glowing hexagonal lines that make up the framework of my hand, but my hand itself is completely see-through. It just seems to be made up of these like very geometric, magnetic lines that are somehow resonating a hand. See through. I've seen that. I've been attacked by elves.
You've been attacked by elves?
Attacked by elves.
What do you mean? Describe it.
I was...
Describe the elves and describe where... Yeah, go ahead.
I was laying in a lawn chair.
Yeah.
And I'd already, like, I just made the fatal mistake of watching a Terrence McKenna video the night before, and it's on YouTube. I'm sure you can find it. You could even maybe play it for this podcast, but it's his advice to take a heroic dose of mushrooms, or he's talking about a heroic dose, which is how much he thought you should take. If you're going to do it, sit and...
Yeah, what does he say a heroic dose is?
I can't remember, man. It's like 5 dried grams, I think.
5 grams. I usually take, like... 2.
Yeah.
And that gets me pretty good.
5 dried grams. That's his advice. 5 dried grams. So, and he compares it, and forgive me if I butcher this or don't quote it for those of you who are like huge Terrence McKenna aficionados, but.
Aficionados.
He describes it as getting to stand next to a nuclear blast in front of a. Protective window, you know, like if you
really?
Go to
you
ground
see it all?
If you could go to ground zero of where a nuclear bomb is detonated. So that's how high he was getting, and I had watched that terrible video, and then the next day I thought, okay, well, I'm just gonna follow his advice and take the most mushrooms I've ever taken in my life, and let's see what happens. And
how much did you take?
I didn't measure it, but it was a lot.
That's the thing with mushrooms. It's not always like, it's not like it's a pill form. You can be like, this is this much.
You should measure it. You know, I think McKenna would probably recommend always measuring it, not just for safety reasons, but.
So you can go to compare it too.
Yeah.
Like, that got me this much. That got me this
that's
much.
It.
Instead of going like, I don't know, it was about, I sort of remember how much it weighed in my hand. Yeah. That's not as easy
that's
to replicate.
It. Yeah. Cause you know, when you're existing in a ridiculous country run by angry, paranoid warmongers, then there isn't enough scientific research going on with this stuff. And so we are all our own tiny little researchers during a stupid, a very stupid prohibition. And we are our own little researchers, and we help each other by taking notes and being like, oh, fuck, that was this many dry grams. This was this many dry grams. Here's what happened to me. And that kind of stuff gets, you know, that's all we got.
I like that.
That literally is all we have outside of the Johns Hopkins study. But for those studies, they're usually using synthetic psilocybin.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Which they have to, because you can, when you eat mushrooms, it's like if you get an orange and eat the orange, sometimes it's going to have more sugar in it. Sometimes it's going to have less sugar.
So this has like the exact saying, this is the mean amount.
Yeah. Here's however many milligrams of psilocybin. So, you know, you can, which is really cool about synthetic psilocybin, is you can just dial it right in. You know, you can dial in the exact experience that you want. Apparently, I've never tried it.
Yeah, when they give you like, even if they give you like an ounce of shrooms, and you're like, okay, everybody gets 2 grams, you're like, we're guessing. I don't know. That one looks like more than that one. So let's move a cap, a cap and a stem.
Various mushrooms have, you know, different strains and have different potency. It's I'm sure there's ways that you could look at the blue coloring in the stems, perhaps, and that might be an indication of the strength, but I don't know for sure.
I like the guy who used to sell it to us. He would split it up and do like each eighth, and he split it up into half eighths. So he could be like, here's an eighth, here's 2 point whatever grams or 1 point whatever gram. Like, this is the right dosage, half an eighth. And so they'd all be split up that way.
Yeah, that's cool.
So you wouldn't have to later.
That's smart. And you can go to the shroomery.org if you've been there, of course.
Uh-huh. The shroomery.org is a good site.
Oh, it's
Arrowhead
great.
Is a good site.
Shroomery.org is a great site. I remember we were I was in Georgia recently, and it rained, and some mushrooms grew off of horse shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, are you serious? Could it be? There's no way. There's just no way that where I'm at actually grows psychedelic mushrooms. So I took some pictures.
Yeah, you gotta take pictures. You can't just pick mushrooms.
Uploaded them to the shroomery.org. They have an identification thread there because you can't eat them.
So you said who?
I uploaded them and said, can anyone identify these? And you know, they have like, they like have like a form you can fill out where you're like, here's the name, here's what it looks like, here's the coloration, here's the, anyway. Yeah. Within like 10 minutes, somebody wrote back, well, that's an Amphipolius distowaza, whatever the name
Someone
of the thing.
Someone who really knows their bird watchers.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, I know what bird that is.
He gave the exact name of it, and then underneath it, the sad, sad words, not active.
Oh.
But it's just such a beautiful time that we live in.
Yeah.
Because in the old days.
The community you can have all over the world.
Exactly. Yeah. It's there for you. And so people listening who like live in areas where psychedelic mushrooms grow.
Missouri, the Northwest.
Florida, North Carolina. You know, almost everywhere.
Everywhere there's rain.
You don't have to make the mistake that some people made up at my college, Warren Wilson College. So psychedelic mushrooms would grow on the cow shit there. And it was a liberal arts college. And so, you know, before I got there, it was a very common thing for students after a rain to go up into the forest and find mushrooms to eat. Apparently, you know, this could be urban myth or college myth or something, but some kids went up there and ate some mushrooms they found, and their fucking livers collapsed or failed because they got the wrong kind. They got like an angel of death or some kind of like doom mushroom, and it just fried out their fucking liver.
Yeah, that's what I'm always scared of with picking mushrooms.
Well, that's why you need, when you pick mushrooms, don't just use a field guide. Take digital pictures, upload them to the shroomery. And
this guy in Hong Kong said he was fans of yours and Rogan's and mine, and he said, yeah, in the woods there, you just go. And I'm like, how do you know if it's, what's, he goes, go on the web, man, you cross-reference.
Yeah, you cross-reference, and you spend a lot of time cross-referencing.
And in that time, they could be drying, so,
you
know,
you just let them dry.
Yeah,
but don't find a mushroom and eat it just because it matches what you've heard a psychedelic mushroom is, which is the blue-purple discoloration. You can see it in a dried mushroom still, the kind of blue veins that run through it, the weird blue kind of like. That's apparently psilocybin. That's what it looks like. Yeah,
I thought it grows on the underside of the cap.
It's through the whole thing.
Oh. And then it comes up through the cap and
please,
goes out.
You guys who are mushroom experts, forgive me when I misfire here. You're getting my, you know, the stuff that I've read on the internet and seen on YouTube and you know, stuff I've read from Terrence McKenna, but any of this stuff, just All I'm saying is be careful. Don't eat mushrooms that just because they look like they could make you trip.
That's a good message.
That's a good message.
Wait, finish telling me about the elves.
Oh, yeah. So what happened here was...
Already stayed on track for once.
What? Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, thanks.
I remember like within a very short time...
I've taken this heroic
feeling
dose.
It come on and then looking down at my hands on the bed and they've taken on this kind of like...
I love that coming on when you're like, oh, here we go. It's like the click, click, click of a roller coaster as you're going up. And
Ari, I'm too much of a pussy. I don't like it. And,
we're going to talk about that soon.
I'm looking at my hands are like melting into the bed. They're melting and spreading out just like melting candle wax. And this is, I know that it hasn't been that long since I ate those sweeties. And I know if this is already happening now, I've got a ramp up of, you know, an hour or two at least. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that means I'm at the very bottom of the building and things are already melting. What happens at the top of this building? So like, I'm like, oh no. This is when I'm walking out of the, walking by the pool. This is a spa up in the desert.
Yeah.
I'm walking by this pool, and that's when I hear that goddamn voice, man. Always like, this has happened a couple of times on mushrooms.
What? What voice?
It's like, you know, I don't think it's like a schizophrenic voice. I think it might be just the voice of my I don't know what it is, man.
What is it?
But, so there's all of a sudden I hear a voice. I'll just say it. There's a fucking voice. A voice. No, it sounds like somebody's put a shitload of like layered almost the exact same voice on top of itself like seven times. That kind of like what? And it's sort of a...
You were doing that yesterday, 2 days ago, on Monday, I mean.
Well, yeah. I was trying to duplicate that.
Yeah. Oh, really? That's what you're going
for? That's an attempt to duplicate that sound, which is like... I don't know what it is. I have a lot
of
theories about that.
All the voices of Lucifer put over each other.
Well, yeah, and that Ari's talking about this comedy act he saw me do where I was just trying to be diabolic. This doesn't seem evil as much as alien or as much as old or as much as impersonal. Maybe that's another way to put it. It's just kind of impersonal. But the voice was, and it's not a voice. It's like when you smoke DMT, it's not like you hear a voice. It's like you get something deeper than a voice. Yeah. You get an impulse or an intuition that you then turn into your own language, maybe. Who knows? But the voice was...
I know what you're talking about.
The voice was, we are the eternal servants of the universe, and we have to do deep work on you today. And so that was where I'm like, oh, fuck. I don't want deep work done on me today. I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't ready for this kind of like contact or whatever this is. I didn't want a visionary experience, yet I took the amount that I should have taken for a visionary experience. And then when it happened, I was like, ah, fuck. Laid down in a lawn chair.
Yeah.
And let me preface this by saying I have read Terrence McKenna's description of smoking DMT, and I'm completely aware of the fact that this could be some kind of subconscious programming from reading stuff like that. I
worry about that sometimes. So I'm like, am I just doing the experience that somebody gave me?
Don't know where it came from. Okay. Maybe it's an experience I've already digested. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it happened.
What happened?
So all of a sudden I realize that there are these entities swimming through my body. Like they're somehow like whatever they're made of or composed of, their form it
can go through
sees
your skin.
Us, yeah, but it swims in us. Right. It doesn't like go through us like air. It's like that we still have like we have consistency
of water.
Consistency of goopy water. They're swimming through me. I can feel these beings swimming through me, and because they're in me, I could feel what they were like, and their energy was like, imagine if there was a toddler or like a 9-year-old, and I know McKenna calls these things tykes. I like to think we both went to the same place.
Right.
But God damn it, I understand why. Like, it felt like the energy was young, of a youthful, like a child on a playground or something. But imagine if there was a kid on a playground that had an IQ of like 6,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like this super intelligent being, but it had, but like with the ethics of a 8-year-old, and 8-year-olds aren't unethical, but they are mean, and they are like.
There's a Star Trek episode like that, an old one.
Oh, there is.
Some kid was like, some god was like punishing them, putting them into a different world, doing all those things, and all of a sudden he's like, Timmy, get back here right now. He's like, oh, I'm coming, Mom.
That could have been influenced by that. That's hitting upon this idea of like, if there are aliens, what would their kids be like if they're super advanced and intelligent? Yeah. You know, they're not going to be like, I know you've seen videos of like kids, if you ever,
assholes.
When a six-year-old gets around a dog, it's not trying to poke the dog's eyes out. It's not like I'm going to pull its hair. It just wants to see what happens with the dog.
Yeah.
I got the sense that somehow by, you know, shifting my consciousness with the mushrooms and being placed in a situation of being aware of them and all the entities that might exist around us at any given time, or all the projections of the disparate parts of our consciousness, the fragmental portions of our subconscious mind that we can't accept in ourselves. There's a lot of different ways to name it, but let's for now call them demons, entities, angels, aliens. And a lot of people say they're around us at all times. They're always surrounding us like mosquitoes on a deer.
Yeah.
When you see a deer running through a forest, I've seen clouds of mosquitoes around it. Is the deer aware of the mosquitoes? Its entire life it's had mosquitoes around it. Maybe it doesn't even know they're there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So they're swimming through my body and it's terrible. They don't seem malicious, but they definitely don't see, they seem, it's like they feel like they found an old fat seal or something. Like they found just some dumb, real dumb, slow animal that's somehow aware of them. They're like swimming through me. I start praying. I'm like, please, God. Please, God, please, please help me, God. And it felt like they were mocking my voice, like in my head, like they were going, please, God, help him, God, help him. Making fun of the fact that I knew that I didn't necessarily believe that prayer is going to do anything anyway. So it's like a reflection of my own doubt, perhaps.
Like, what are you doing? You know that ain't going
to
help.
So in the midst of this, like, I open my eyes. I swear to God, man, there's all the trees. It doesn't look like the trees don't
where
look.
Where was
like, this? This was up at a spa in Desert Hot Springs.
In a vine.
What?
Vinery?
No, this was, I didn't, that was acid.
Oh, okay.
This is a mushroom trip.
And where was this?
This was up spa? In the desert in Hot Springs. Yeah.
Oh.
It's a great place called Two Bunch Palms. Go there. It's beautiful. Two Bunch Palms. It's wonderful. But like, so the fucking trees now are looking like, I feel like I'm in a like on another planet. Like everything just seems wild and alien and melty. Standing at the end of a tree branch is what appears to be a gnome, an old gnome, an old shitty, an old like tiny little guy
with a beard,
beard,
the hat,
no hat, looking out over the wild like. Melting trees, aware of me, aware that I'm aware of him, aware that I could see him, and not happy about it, like kind of grumpy about it, just like he didn't seem like he, it's not like he cared or he found it that fascinating, but just it was an annoyance. He seemed annoyed and old. He seemed old, like just an old shitty gnome thing.
Yeah.
So like that, I see that, I close my eyes. Because now I'm just like, oh my God, this is like, not only did I go off the deep end, I went like way, 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 way off the deep end. And then that was where, as I'm laying back, I'm just like, I guess I'm fucked. And then it felt like I was just being embraced by something, some beautiful.
What do you mean you went way off the deep end? What does that mean?
I mean like,
this thing recognized you, it wasn't happy about it, and then what?
Well, that was the whole combination of being like swarmed by alien super intelligent toddler beings and seeing a gnome and all the trees looking like they were growing out of something on Alpha Centauri or something.
Yeah.
All of it combined to like to give me the big freaks. And then that's when it felt like there was this like maternal, loving, sweet thing that was just like enveloping me. And I had my eyes closed. Beautiful colors, just glorious, beautiful colors. It was all very calming and sweet. And then it went from that kind of rough start to something that was a little more compassionate and kind and not such a brutal trip. But it was pretty – that trip
– yeah.
After that trip like really like
– how old were you for this?
This is like 4 years ago.
Okay.
But that trip was like made me respect mushrooms a lot more than I used to. It gave me a real sense of like, these are a tool. It's definitely a sacrament. It's a religious experience, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
And if you go into it with the wrong intention, or not, or pretending you have the right intention when you don't, then you know, it's not like you're gonna like necessarily have a terrible time, but you might not be able to appreciate all the information you're getting as you would if you had prepared for it.
Oh yeah, I would definitely say that if you're not prepared, like, not that. And people say like, "Am I gonna have the most spiritual experience of my life?" And I tell them like, "Look, man, you're gonna laugh, and maybe you get to that, but don't be sad if you don't,
right?
Because most of the times you didn't get that experience, right? Most of the times you've done mushrooms."
No, like you asked me about the first time I took them.
Yeah.
My friend's house in Hendersonville, North Carolina, completely skeptical that mushrooms could get you that high. I was already just like, whatever, just man.
Thing.
Ate some of them. I'm laying on his couch and watching Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Yeah.
And of course, you're in high school, you're on mushrooms, watch Pink Floyd,
The Wall. What are you supposed to do? I managed to avoid that.
Laying there watching it, it's the end of the movie, and I'm like, man. I didn't even know that. I don't think I knew the word font back then, but I was like, the credits were rolling, and I'm like, what kind of fucking lettering is this? Because it looks awesome. It was like, you know, beautiful, like Coca-Cola style lettering. And then I realized that the scroll is actually extending three-dimensionally out of the screen a little bit, like it was blobbing out this kind of like awesome, like you know, I don't know how to explain it, like just kind of like something was behind whatever the credits were rolling on, like a geometric form was kind of pushing them over it, so
yeah.
It had a three-dimensional appearance to it, and then I think that ended up in everyone, all of us just start
laughing.
Thank God, getting into that wonderful state of just unstoppable laughter for a long time.
Carbs described it once that he was there with Moses Robinson in a casino doing them. And he came, like, you know, how you separate and come back to each other when you're with a lot of people sometimes. You just sort of like wander and then all of a sudden you're back. Like, oh, hey, where you been? Where you been? Cool, let's go this way. He said Moses was just looking at a video poker machine and just laughing.
Right.
And Carboni was like, what are you laughing at? And Moses just pointed to the video poker machine, and Carboni followed his arm and looked at it and he goes, oh. And they started laughing too. And
that's
they both sat
so
there.
Funny.
Yeah, the laughing's pretty great.
See, man, I can't, like, I could never take them at a casino. I could never take them.
Okay, hold on. What, a lot of people around and stuff? Now, you went a long time without them, probably after that 5-gram dose.
Yes.
And then you're like, I don't do them anymore. But then we did them on Shroomfest a couple years ago at UFC in Calgary, and that was a more manageable dose.
Yeah, but we were also on ecstasy.
Yeah. That's true. We had ecstasy too. That's a good combination.
Great combination.
Yeah. I really kept it nice.
That tempers the... That
you
like
sort of bad feelings. Get like, no, ecstasy makes them good feelings.
That creates a force field to prevent the combined psychic radiation of all the people enjoying the UFC from getting into you. Because I think that, like, you know, if you read... There's a great book, I'm sure you've probably read it, called The Doors of Perception by Aldous Huxley. Have you read that book?
No.
So that's where the Doors got their name from, right? And so Huxley was...
what did Aldous Huxley write? 1984? No.
Brave New World.
Yeah.
And Huxley was a huge advocate for psychedelics. And as many people, as many intellectuals were back then before the Reagan administration took a big
shit
fat Republican capitalist reptilian Illuminati dump.
I think
over
we should buy a few more guns and stop worrying about these mushrooms.
Yeah. Because they're, you know, when people started recognizing that there were these mushrooms people were taking out in Mexico religiously, and Leary got a hold of some and took them through the lens of a psychologist's eyes, and then Alpert took them, and everyone's taking them, and then of course acid hit the scene. All these brilliant people, they had the reaction that anyone has when they take a good psychedelic and have a wonderful experience, that they think this could change the world.
Yeah. Everyone should have these.
Yeah, yeah, that's the experience. And back then, there wasn't any kind of stigma attached to it that was paid for by lobbyists and people who are pro-war and against love. There hadn't been a massive PR campaign to dismantle
against anything
against drugs. The thing that, like, has still gotten in the heads of so many people.
Drugs.
So drugs.
They're like, drugs.
Man, I still will never forget. To this day, I still think about this. I was around a friend's friend, and I think we started talking about mushrooms. I started talking about, man, it wasn't mushrooms. It was acid. I don't remember what it was. Talking about psychedelics. And then she's like, you sound like a druggie. Talking about psychedelics. Not heroin, not cocaine. Yeah. Not
They lump them in.
But I remember, like, for one, I've never been able to respect her after that. Like, I thought about it, and I'm like, well, you're supposed to be a really smart person, but you haven't managed to climb out of the what I consider a form of I think she's a bigot. I think if you're if you're somebody,
I mean, it's that type of people who does that thing.
I lump you in with people who are homophobic. I lump you in with racists. I lump you in with,
you like kissing another boy, you're a faggot. You taking this thing in your body, you're a druggie.
So I say you're, you know, when someone, I say, oh, you think I'm a druggie, I think you're a fucking bigot, and I think you're a thought bigot, and I think that you're accusing me of being guilty of thought crimes right now, that you're saying to me, even though you're fucking drinking coffee nonstop, which, by the way, do a quick Google search on caffeine deaths this year, and you will find that the graveyards have many more moldering corpses in them from caffeine overdoses.
Really?
Specifically, oh, these poor dopes. They go on Amazon.com and they order a fucking
caffeine pills,
caffeine powder. They order caffeine powder, and then they have parties, and then trying to show off, they'll take a spoonful of pure caffeine, which is equal to like 6,000 Red Bulls, and they'll have a heart attack in 30 minutes and die. Happens all the time. So, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, you're saying to me, because, like, from time to time, truly from time to time, I like to take a mind-expanding drug that will allow me to forgive myself, see the parts of myself that need work through not the lens of judgment or hate, usually, unless I'm having a paranoid trip, but quite often it'll let me, like, grow. A thing that has added so much happiness to my life.
Coffee doesn't add anything.
Nothing. You're slurping back.
Just wakes you up a little.
Yeah. You're imbibing this goddamn, like, super powerful stimulant. Which is like somehow because you're like drinking it in a liquid form, it's different from you taking speed.
And because it's available at coffee shops everywhere.
Right, right. And you're staring, P.S., you're like haven't moved your eyes away from your fucking cell phone for the last 6 minutes. So not only are you on an amphetamine, but you're also like
an addict.
You're also like completely trying to like escape the present moment as much as you possibly can. You're saying that the only acceptable means to get out of the present moment and into an altered state of reality is through drinking a super powerful liquefied stimulant and staring at a rectangular comfort device. That's okay. But if I take a substance that has inspired countless artists, musicians, you know? Here's the thing. That's okay. Looking into the comfort rectangle and drinking coffee is okay. That's fine. What's not okay
Shitting on this other way of being.
Yeah, is in trying to implant your fear consciousness into other people.
Yeah, it's
because,
like, do what you want. I'm not saying don't do that.
Yeah.
But just leave me alone, too.
Yeah. Just leave me alone.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's why when people start, when the alcohol and marijuana gets compared all the time, and marijuana's like, look, alcohol does this, does that. The alcohol people were like, hey, can you stop shitting on us? We didn't do anything to you.
Right.
Can you leave us out of it?
Yeah, right.
But I think marijuana's point is, look, we're not saying do away with that. We're just saying that's worse, so why don't we all just allow to do what we want?
I've seen people who slurp booze every night who are anti-drugs.
Yeah.
That's all. It's like when you see people who are...
Then you're going by the laws they put forth towards us.
You are the worst kind of pig. Yeah. What you're saying is, here the substances that are okay are those approved by the federal government.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're saying what my
narc.
What
fucking
the
narc.
What the master government, what the government tells me is what I will put in my body.
Yeah.
But if the government tells me that it's illegal, then I will not put it in my body.
And I'll judge others for doing the same.
Yes! You're a fascist piece of shit. And by the way, if you go back and look at the history of what was okay to put in your body and what isn't okay to put in your body, that changes all the fucking time.
Yeah.
It's not like alcohol used to be not okay to put in your body, but now it is. So back then, would you
marijuana
have been...
Marijuana used to be okay, and now it's not.
Yeah. They're the type of people that if the government had an approved reading list and they caught you reading something that wasn't approved, they would be like, why are you reading that book? That is a dangerous book. That book causes people to go crazy. That book causes people to change in ways that don't fit in with what the government wants them to act like. Don't look at that book.
Wow, yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
And the weird thing is, too, is call them all drugs. It's like they're very different.
Very different.
I mean, coke and mushrooms. I mean, that's just not even – how do you put those under the umbrella? Unless you're things you can put in you. But then you have to put water in that category, too.
Yeah. You can't put it – drugs. Just all in one compartment.
My mom still thinks weed and heroin is pretty much the same.
So many do. And it's not –
it's not their fault. It's the story they keep getting sold by the sources they trust.
It's not the – I mean, you could say in North Korea, it's not their fault that they think that Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-il, whatever, like cracked out of a giant eagle egg that fell out of a rainbow.
Yeah.
It's not their fault. They've been brainwashed since they were born. But they're
still the ones doing it.
But in the United – well, also, they don't –
it's like when they say child molesters. Like, well, you know, he was molested as a child.
They don't
like,
have an internet.
Right.
So in a way, you could be like, it really isn't your fault. And also, if you say the wrong thing in this government, you could get put in the Korean government, you could get put in a work camp.
Yeah.
But here, just do – the next time –
generally, we're pretty free.
Not that anyone listening to this is against mushrooms, but if there was like three people in here who were, before you start spouting off
angry
about how
pen,
fucking awful they
notes.
Are,
yeah.
please – Google search the John Hopkins psilocybin test that just happened. Pour through the research papers.
I'll link to it on my website.
Yeah, look at that.
I'll put a link to it.
Yeah, look at that. And then after you've analyzed the data that was put together in a,
By scientists who don't give a shit either way.
Yeah.
They're just trying to see. They've heard about the stuff. Let's see what it does.
Yeah, when you've looked through that stuff, then like when you're sitting at a table and someone starts talking about mushrooms and you feel like piping up with your awful litany of fear that only pollutes the minds of people who just want to be happy, then do it. But first do the fucking research, man. That's all. Do the fucking research.
I think I know what I know without doing any extra. It's easier. To be like, what I was told was this, and it's the fact because I know it's in my brain already.
Yeah.
It's hard to reevaluate what you already know. When you know the world is flat and they say it's round, I was like, come on, man. I think it's just in you so deep that you're like not going to second guess it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think a good parallel is like you know, someone who's been in a cult.
Yeah.
After they've been in a cult for 10 years, they have done a lot of shit that's pretty probably embarrassing from the perspective of someone who wasn't brainwashed. They probably gave whoever the head of the cult was like 700 blowjobs. They probably gave all their money to this very same person. They probably let this very same person have sex with their daughter. This has happened to people in cults, and they've been convinced of the potency or supernatural powers or whatever of this person who ultimately was just a very clever sex addict who came up with a hypnotic story that magnetized dumb people to him and allowed him to like put his penis into them.
Yeah.
But so in the same way, it's like a lot of people, they can't bear the truth when it comes to the whatever government they happen to be in, which is that the government exists in the minds of the people. The government is in reality a cluster of, I don't know, 100 old men and a few old women who all live in some neighborhoods up in Maryland or Virginia, you know? That's that. After that, it just exists in the minds of the people. There's no other thing than just a group of people who've convinced the majority of people that they have to do what they say. That's what a government is. So that means that a lot of the information that you've been being fed by this group of old people, some of it is not going to be right. Some of it, in fact, is only going to be placed in your mind to serve their purposes, which is generally selling weaponry or trying to acquire other people's territories. That's the story of all empires. So it's
Metzger said that. It's always like, for God and country, you're supposed to go to war. And Metzger's like, there's zero in the Bible. There's zero excuse for killing for war.
Zero.
It's just murder's wrong.
Thou
they don't say,
kill.
Oh, no, but I'm with this army and they're with that army. Like, you're still just not supposed to kill.
Thou should not kill.
Yeah. It doesn't say, what if you're protecting oil interests in Kuwait?
Okay. Here, let's do a little improv. I want you to play...
I like improv.
Play a classic person who lives in any country,
okay,
outside of like the really smart ones like Sweden, like, yeah, or just a classic person who lives in any country, right? And I'm going to ask you a question and give me what is definitely the right answer.
Okay.
Would you die for your country?
Fuck yeah, man.
Right. Okay. But now let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Would you die for your planet?
Oh. What do you mean?
Your planet. Would you die for your planet? Would you give up your life so that your planet could thrive, so that interstellar travel could happen, so that the wars would stop? Would you die for your planet?
I don't know.
Hell no, motherfucker, you liberal piece of shit. I'm not going to die for my planet. I'm only going to die for the tiny little swath of land that they told me was my country. After that, no way.
Yeah.
That's it. So the hypocrisy and the paradox and the people who are like, yes, I would die for my country, is that they would not die for their planet. And that's the condition. Clearly what's happening here,
yeah,
is that we're earthlings. We're all earthlings,
yeah,
existing on a planet together. That's what it is.
So Gene Roddenberry did so good. He just made planets into countries. So we made like each different species,
right,
their own like feel. But it's like there was no more France and America. It was all, yeah, just America. It was all just Earth.
Yeah. That's it. And that is what's happening. And you know, I can remember talking to like one of my friends became a, I can't remember the, what is the type of Judaism where they will not eat off of your plate if you're not Jewish, like at your house? They have to bring
Glock kosher?
Yeah.
Okay.
He like hardcore kosher.
Yeah.
You know, like.
It's really just kosher, actually. You're not supposed to eat off people's plates because the plates aren't kosher.
Right. Right. Just, so, I mean, yeah, right. So, like, if I go over to like a.
Glock kosher is different.
Let's imagine that if I went over to like a black dude's house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, sorry, man. I just don't eat off the plates of black people.
Yeah.
Anyway, my friend like sort of got absorbed into.
It's because you've done something to the plate that's not damaging to you at all, but it's damaging to the Jew that you wouldn't even understand.
Right, exactly.
That's why it's just
it's a form of like it's a form of religious bigotry, really. It's an imaginary thing that you've come up with.
If you bought new plates, if some black guy bought new plates,
what is it
going to
hit your? Is it going to hit your spiritual? Is it going to mess up your aura, dude?
It's going to have meat and milk
relax
on it. You know?
So anyway, I was talking
yeah.
I was talking to him about culture, right?
Yeah.
And boy, oh boy, did he think culture was the most important thing and the preservation of culture was the most important thing. And for him, of course, the most important thing was the preservation of Judaism, the Jewish culture, the most important thing. And so
his own little thing.
So he felt it was important for his group of Jews, not all Jews are like that, but his group of Jews all needed to live in the same neighborhood, all needed to be together, and also they needed to keep out people from other cultures because they didn't want to contaminate their culture with other people's cultures, right? So that is insanity. That is lunacy. It's backwards. It's wrong. We need to abandon our cultures. We need to give up our cultures. We need to give up our national identities. We need to surrender all of that nonsense.
Yes, two kids that die in Yemen aren't worth less than one kid that dies in America.
Yes, that's it.
They're just children who want to play.
Yes, yes. And
why are you saying, yeah,
culture addicts or culture, these people who are so into the preciousness of preserving our culture. How about this? How about we all give up our culture, all give up the idea that there's a Canada, United States, Palestine, Israel,
yeah,
whatever the fuck, Ukraine, give up all that stuff and start working on a spaceship. That's way, yeah, better. Way better. Way better than your fucking shit event at whatever cultural center you went to.
Yeah.
Way better than the crappy pageant you put on.
Well, we recreated a dance they would do 1,000 years ago.
Who cares? Build a spaceship! I want a time machine. I want a Cordova milk bar. I want to be able to go down the street and get injected with mescaline at night. I don't want to be contaminated. I don't want the fucking thing to be messed up by people who are clinging with all their might to antiquated and outdated ideologies that no longer apply to the time that we're in.
They don't apply to the time. It's like when you see someone on TV and they bleep out a word, you're like, what? That word? And that was only 30 years ago. We're talking about 600-700 years ago in like cultural standpoints. Like, stop it. If the Native Americans would have kept going, they wouldn't have been doing the rain dance anymore. They would have been like,
God,
working with cranes.
Oh, God. I was riding with my brother and I said, like, fuck Yeah. And then I found myself apologizing for it because the baby's there.
Yeah,
and then I'm like, yeah, what's going to make the baby think fuck's an important word? It's not going to be hearing it all the time. It's going to be every time someone says it, like, oh, God, I'm sorry.
And you're like, oh, is something wrong here?
Yeah. Now you fetishize the word.
Yeah. So what? Describe the fear that goes in when you're, you know what? You told me you had some bad trips. Was that just on?
I've had some bad trips.
Yeah.
You need to get. Let me just turn this off.
Yeah. What does that go through the speakers?
No, it just is vibrating on the wood. I've had some bad trips.
What goes? I've never had one. Describe a bad trip. Describe the way it starts. Describe the way it comes out of it and what's going on during it.
Okay.
And maybe what caused it.
Worst trip I ever had. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. Worst trip I ever had. I must have told you this. At the Grateful Dead parking lot.
Yeah. That's acid.
That's acid.
Okay. Describe it anyway. Here's what I think about acid and mushrooms. I think they're like much like antidepressants. They hit people differently. And the stuff that a lot of people describe for acid, I get on mushrooms.
Well,
and vice versa.
Okay, so, you know, instead of going into a long bad trip story, which I've said on other podcasts, why not go into the recommendation from all the great fathers?
Pete told me this once, one of the fathers. He said that he had never had a bad trip before, and then he was mushrooms, with a girl he kind of liked but hadn't done anything with yet. And a guy he kind of knew, another comedian he kind of knew.
There you go.
And he was just like trying to impress both of them. He was worried about what they thought of them. Whereas if you and I are doing mushrooms together, we just know. We're not worried about what we think of each other. We just know. We're friends.
Well, it's called set and setting. So you've heard that before, right?
Sort of, yeah.
So the advice is set and setting, which set means mindset. Where is your mind at?
Right.
Right? Do you have some shit you're not taking care of? Do you have some bills you need to pay? Are you worried about
a
job?
Bills you got to pay is not like the worst thing.
But
I don't
if you
think
have an over,
you.
If you have a problem you're not dealing
if you
with,
have a lot, yeah,
take care of it.
Yeah.
This is like, you know,
because your mind's going to be on it.
Yes.
It's like when you try to fuck and you know that you have this massive, massive report due and it's all you can think about. And then suddenly you don't get a boner because you can't keep your mind off this fucking thing.
Yeah.
I got a big showcase tomorrow. And it's like things like that where you can't even stop thinking about it at all.
Yeah.
Bad time to
take
do mushrooms.
Care of business.
Yeah.
Do it. Take care of business.
Responsible drug use.
Yes. Just do and get yourself in that, you know, like when you've like, you know, when you take care of shit all day, like those days where you like wake up earlier than you usually do and you like get done, you get like 9 things done and you've written, you've gone on stage, you've done everything, you know, maybe every day is like that for you. I don't know. But like, of course, not.
Written everything off.
So right. Those days where you get shit done. You know, a lot of cultures will tell you to fast prior to a mushroom trip or to not eat meat or drink 3 days before a mushroom trip. But you could also just like for 3 days.
Culture, I just heard it hits harder that way.
What's that?
I just heard it hits harder that way.
Well, I think that's the idea. But also, like, you're going to feel bad. If you have gotten drunk the night before and take mushroom, if you get drunk and do anything the next day, you're not going to feel as good as if you didn't drink.
Right.
Your body's getting rid of these toxins, you know? It's busy.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, let's lower the workload on our bodies a little bit by fasting a little bit, not drinking, not eating like heavy foods for a few days. And during that course of time, knowing that we're about to take this awesome trip, why not fucking get stuff done that you've been putting off, you know?
Sure.
Get some stuff done. So
Get
it off your mind. So at the end of these 3 days, when you look back, you're like, wow, man, I feel really good. I got a lot of shit taken care of. I haven't been drinking. Now take the mushrooms.
Wow.
That's set. That's mindset. Now your mindset is in a really cool place.
Set of a set and set.
Yeah, that's set. Setting is obvious. It's like, so
where are you? At the UFC? The woods?
Are you at the mall?
Yeah.
Are you going to eat mushrooms and go to the mall? Are you going to eat mushrooms with that guy who... is always inevitably an asshole, complaining, nervous,
pushing people around.
Or are you going to take mushrooms with somebody that you love in a beautiful place?
Yeah.
So that's setting. So this is like so now what you've done is you created a situation that is very conducive to having a wonderful experience. Set and setting. Then the next bit of advice they give, which I really love, is don't just do it in one day. Go to a place where you find 3 days out of your life. 3 days, right?
That's how long Shroom Fest is.
Who would have thought?
Yeah.
3 days, right?
Yeah.
3 days. The first day, You go to wherever you're going to go. Let's say that you found a nice cabin up in the woods through, what's the name of that service?
Airbnb.
Airbnb. You found a nice little wilderness place or a lake cabin or someplace with your friends. That's when you drive up, park your car, check out the place.
Go take a shit.
Go take a shit, relax, and don't take them that day.
There's always our mistake when we go like up to like Malibu Creek State Park or wherever. It's like, hurry, hurry, set the tent up. It's getting dark. Set it up. I got to go. Now take the mushrooms.
Yeah. So that, all that.
We keep talking. We'd love to get there at noon and just be casual, get our feel around the place. And then like, all right, you ready?
Yeah.
It's about to be sunset. Let's take them.
Yeah. This time what you do is like instead of like rushing to take the drugs, you've got a whole afternoon where you just relax in the woods, go swimming, do whatever. Then the next day, wake up. You feel good. You've gotten some sleep. You didn't drink the night before because you're not drinking. The next day, you feel really good. You're out in the woods, wherever you're at. And then, you know, more instead. I don't know why people like to take mushrooms at night. I like taking them in the day. I like getting high in the day.
I like both of those things.
I prefer the day. There's just for the sheer basic fact that there's more photons bouncing off of stuff than there is at night. You can see more colors.
Oh, right. Yeah, the stars are out at night.
Which is beautiful, which is cool. So then, you know.
But I like daytime too.
So now you're going to, now here's the hippie advice.
Yeah.
And some people are going to roll their eyes at this, and I can understand, because whenever you kind of, when things get a little too organized or too dogmatic or whatever when it comes to this stuff, the rebellious part of you that might have drawn you to the mushrooms in the first place is like, hell no, man, I'm a rebel, I'll do it the way I want. Fine, you do it the way you want. But the idea is you with your friends, you actually say, you can say as you're sitting around, you say what you want to get out of it. Is there something you want to, is there something you'd like
out loud.
To get, yeah, out loud. Like it's called setting an intention. So now it's like, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to tell your friends. You can even just write it down and put it in your pocket.
Say it in the bathroom before you go
to be. I don't want to be afraid anymore. Or why am I afraid? Or I want to be more loving. Or I want to be more connected to the world.
This is what they do in Havdalah. When the Sabbath is over. You ever see this? They do a prayer service with this candle. It has to be two wicks overlapping each other, at least two wicks. So you'll see a lot of like whatever. They make this prayer over wine. Everything has wine. And then at some point, it starts like that, and then they drink the wine and they pour it out over. Oh, but first they held the candle up, and you're supposed to like look at the shadow in your fingernails and like look back and forth. And then he pours the wine over the candle, putting it out, and then you take that wine that's down there and you put it to where you want things in your pockets if you want money.
Yeah, there you go.
In your next to your heart if you want to like love something.
Beautiful. That's a wonderful ritual. You do a ritual like that where it's like, what do you want out of this? You're about to have a conversation with nature.
Yeah.
What is some stuff you might want to talk about? Or what is some stuff you'd like to learn? Or what's some shift you'd like to have happen? So you do that. Set the intention. Now, the next bit of advice they give, and this is where it gets a little bit like, well, that's now we're getting complicated, is they say you want to have a person there who's not high at all. This is the person. This is the guide or the babysitter. So this is where you ask this guy. This is the guy you ask, hey, man, am I dying right now? Because I'm pretty sure I'm dying. I think my heart's stopping. I think I'm having a heart attack. And he says to you, wow, you're going to be the first person to ever overdose on mushrooms in the history of humanity. If that happens, that's pretty wild.
Or you're going to be the 17 billionth to think it.
Yeah, exactly. And he's there
and
to
go, oh, yeah, okay, you're right. Thank you. Thank
he's
you.
Like, you're
an anchor.
An anchor. They compare him to the air traffic controller. You just check in with him from time to time to make sure that the dog isn't dying, to check in to make sure that, like,
God.
Whatever it is.
And you got to trust that person.
Yeah, and by the way, he's not there to do anything more than to hang out. He's not there to, like, he's not going to get into, he's not guiding in the sense of, like, trying to guide what's happening to you.
When you need him, he's there.
He's a servant to you.
Right, he doesn't go, hey, you should go outside, you should do, just like, he's just letting you. I believe that your natural, like, I think I might wander over there now, whatever, then just trust it.
Yeah.
You don't have to like, should I do this? Should I do that? Just if you got a feeling, go for it.
Whatever you need to do, dude. Yeah. This guy's just there to bring you water and be cool and make you feel okay. He's not there to like try to like teach you about anything at all.
Yeah.
And some people when they hear guide, they're like, ooh, I want to be a guide. And the reason they want to be a guide is because they want to be a shaman or something. No. This is literally
a designated driver.
It's just a dear friend who's like there to like.
I had that with myself once on an edible. And when I used to get to like obliterated, especially those UFCs, to the point of like I'm starting to feel like I might die, I might overdose. And I was with one, and King of Queens was there, And they were going to do a movie about the UFC.
Wow.
So they were all there, and Sussman was there. And like all these like straight people were there, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting back there with Mayhem, and I'm fucking flying right now. And I'm like, these people are straight, and I'm not.
Yeah.
And then I was like, fuck, something's going to happen. And then I just realized, Ari, you know that's not true. You know that doesn't happen to people on pot. You know also from looking at others, they probably can't even tell.
Right, exactly.
So just shut your mouth, seal it shut, and it'll be done in
a
few hours.
And if they could tell, it wouldn't shock them at all.
If they knew Ari was on something, like he always is.
They'd be like, of course you are.
Yeah, we expected it.
It would probably be more shocking to them if you weren't.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, that's the function of this being. And of course, there's no set rules for this. The person could do whatever. If you do have someone who's like a teacher to you, that person could be a teacher there. Yeah. Now, there's another person.
Okay.
This person is there to only suck your cock. No, I'm just kidding.
Hear me out.
It's very important. No, this person takes a dose of...
Yeah.
This person takes a dose of the drugs, but not as high a dose of the drugs. So this person doesn't take the heroic dose. This person just takes a lower dose of the drugs. Yeah, to be tripping with you, but he's not as high as you are.
Grams.
He's just there so you could have this experience with someone, and then everybody else can be high as a fucking kite. So the idea is you have these different gradients of the experience.
Because it does suck when you're the only one on something, and you look like, oh, I can't even relate to anybody. Like, dude, isn't this awesome? You can't even look. You can't even do it. It sucks to be the only one on mushrooms.
That's right. No, you're getting high. Yeah, and you don't want to be the... You can do this with a group of people, and even the guide can take a small dose, so he gets a little up there, but he's there, he's like not like losing it.
Yeah.
So this some version or some configuration of this is very, very conducive to a wonderful trip.
Saying the intention of this is what I want to get out of it.
Yeah.
Having an anchor.
Yes.
A guide, whatever you want.
Servant.
I'm so thirsty. Let me bring you some water, man.
Yeah.
There you go. Enjoy that.
Those people are so cool, man. I took, you know, I remember once taking like ecstasy with someone like that, and it was the most amazing thing. Because
they just quietly help you and then walk away.
Yes. I would be sitting there, and all of a sudden there would be like fruit, and you'd be like, what the fuck? And they brought fruit over, or you know what I mean? Like, all of a
Aaron
sudden.
Aaron Levine did that. He was the first guy that like got me smoking. He was a huge stoner in college. And then I got high at his place. We watched that Tyson fight where he bit Holyfield's ear.
Yeah.
And I was super high. Where, you know, you just sink into the couch for 5 hours. And he just like put a bag of Doritos in front of me and moved sideways.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I ate so many of them.
The best.
He knew.
And then like I remember after the trip, I remember she like had like 5-HTP to give me to like, which is a good thing to take after you're on MDMA because your serotonin gets depleted.
So this pushes it back up.
Yeah. So just like stuff like that, and also always bringing water and like just it was amazing how
you were good like that. My first ecstasy trip. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
Me, you, and Serge, and we ended up going to the Good Bar or something like that down on Sunset.
Yeah.
From somewhere else. I had one tab in me, and I was like, I think I'm feeling it. And you're like, you don't.
Yeah.
And then you gave me another half. But you waited like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Like, it's time for another half tab. You're not feeling it yet.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I got it. But you would always be like, hey, make sure to get some more water.
Yeah.
Like, 30 minutes. Go get a water.
Yeah.
I was like, really? Yeah. And I was like, should I get a beer? Like, no, no beer. Water.
Yeah.
That's
an important thing to do,
it,
to have someone like that around or to be that person. Not to be a goddamn pushy shithead, like, which is what I can be like, where you're like, drink more water. Don't forget to drink water. You'll die without water.
You don't want
to
do that either.
No, just bring them water. That's all. It's a good exercise for you if you're going to do that, because really, I mean, this is what... Ram Dass's guru said when he was like, what's the spiritual practice everybody should take up? And his response was, help somebody.
Yeah. Spiritual practice.
He said, find someone who needs help and help them. Real simple.
I tried doing that for a month in New York. Try to help one person a day.
Oh, that's
cool. Open up their car if they're trying to get groceries in. Nothing major. Just like open the door. Hold on, I'll hold this for you. And then like,
what was that like? What happened?
Felt pretty good.
Yeah.
Feel pretty damn good, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, little things. People look at you weird, but be smiling.
Yeah.
Some people would refuse it. You're like, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty trippy when you realize how simple it is to
prove
change.
Your mood.
Yeah.
It just makes you feel good, and you're not doing much of anything.
It's amazing.
So you dropped this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. But yeah, it's stuff like that. You know, if you want to understand this concept, reverse that situation. put yourself in a situation with a selfish person when you've got shit that you haven't taken care of that you need to take care of, when you're hungover in a loud, awful place where you're in a hurry, and take mushrooms there. And then, Ari, if you do that, you might get to experience a bad trip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you might get to feel what that's like, which, by the way, as the people at the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies say, I heard this great interview on NPR.
Really?
They were asking them
the
about...
what?
Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. These are true heroes. Look them up. These guys are the shit. That's They're the ones who are doing the studies on using MDMA to treat post-traumatic stress disorder.
Oh, nice.
These are some really compassionate, wonderful human beings. And somebody was asking them about... I think it was on NPR. They were talking with them about these studies that they're one of the groups who have gotten approved to do studies with psychedelics.
Yeah.
And it's the first time in a long time that this has been happening. And they were talking about, well, what about bad trips? And he said, I think it was a he said, we don't call them bad trips.
Oh.
He said, we call them challenging trips.
Like a close basketball game. It wasn't a bad basketball game. It was like, yeah, man, it was tight the whole way. You didn't blow them out.
And I think
we call them challenging trips.
Yeah. And another way to put it is, another thing he said is the bad trips are the best trips. And because that's where the, here's another quote. God damn it. I can't remember who said this. I could probably Google search it.
Abraham Lincoln.
It was, I think Abraham Lincoln said, there's no such thing as a bad trip. It's just getting truth delivered to us at too high a speed. And
There's no such thing as a bad trip.
I butchered that. Look up some version of that quote. It's said, and it was far more eloquently than I said it, but... that's the idea, is that you're hitting this kind of like, if you ever end up in a car with an asshole,
yeah,
who for whatever dumb reason feels like he's got to drive too fast.
Yeah.
And acceleration is always terrifying,
yeah,
if you're resisting. In the same way with a psychedelic, you're experiencing this incredible acceleration of your personal growth as a human being on this planet. And if you're resisting that, then you can experience some bumps and some fear. But if you just let go, or as Timothy Leary said,
let go.
Just lift up your legs and float downstream.
Yeah.
That's his
Don't
advice.
Fight it.
You're going to be fine. Lift up those legs.
There is that
float
fear
downstream.
Going into a trip. You're like, oh. And I tell people, like, people say, I'm too scared to do much. I'm like, I'm scared every time I do them.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you shouldn't do them.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah. Just eventually go, all right, let's go.
Take its hand
and just go.
Jumping off the cliff.
Yeah.
And yes. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do them. And P.S. doesn't mean you should. You have to follow your own intuition and know.
I would say challenge yourself. Don't say your fear is your intuition.
Oh, that's
very smart.
Don't say,
well, I would never do that. It's like, could you never really examine it? Step back and say, I'm not holding on to either side. I can or I can't. Say, I'm not holding on to either side. Now, which one can I do?
Just die. Die already. You know, you're going to die anyway. Might as well do it while you're alive. Yeah, it's true.
Okay, so setting. We already talked about that.
Setting, and then the final piece of this is 3 days off. So the second day you trip, and the third day, you eat good, healthy food, you hang out with your friends, and you talk about your experiences. You process the trip. Any kind of thing.
Sometimes it's hard when you have a big business meeting, even if you don't have to prepare for it.
Yeah.
When you have something you have to do.
Yes.
On a Monday, and you do them on Sunday, you're like, you might need Monday to come to terms with what you learned.
That's right, man. And you get this great thing when you're really high on whatever day you take it, you will think, oh, I got the day off tomorrow. This is awesome.
Yeah.
You get that great feeling of like, wow, I don't have to go into work tomorrow. I took it off, you know? And so that's just going to that's going to lighten your mood anyway, because you know you have the whole day tomorrow to enjoy wherever you're at and to like – really like hang out with your pals and like talk about what happened or not talk about it, but it's you can process the information that you got and you can and through that this is the researcher thing, you know, this is what Terrence McKenna said. He's like, be a re go there and bring stuff back if you
bring
can. Bring it back. And this is a way for you to bring it into the world, to like let it grow through you in the same way that mushroom grows up from that mycelium nest on
on
cow shit. You be the cow shit and let the mushroom that's growing out of you be your articulation of this experience.
It's hard. I had the first time I did it, I could understand truths of the universe. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. But then I came back untripping. You know, the next day, I'm like, I don't know how to – like parts of it were left over in me, but I don't know how to say it at all. Second time, third time, then I could sort of express a little bit. And every time I do it, I could take more and more back where I'm not like stunned by this place I'm in. So then I'm like, oh, let me fucking use this time to pick up these bits of knowledge.
Yeah.
I like to tell people, if you're doing it like in an apartment or a house or something, beforehand, in preparation, leave pieces of paper and pencils all over the room.
That's brilliant.
Just everywhere. So you don't have to search for it. So you can just get up in a quick moment, write something down, and then leave. And then that'll be there. There'll be a record of that tomorrow.
You got a record. And maybe you'll understand it. Maybe you won't. But – and also, you know, all this being said
– yeah, you might understand a lot of that. All that being said, yeah.
Don't make the thing some weighty anthropological journey into the mind. Just have a fucking hoot.
You're going to laugh.
Have a great
time. That's what it mostly is. You're going to laugh.
Have a great time. Just have fun, man. But just know all this information, or know about this certain way that's been recommended by the elders about, and it's something that they figured out over lots of experiences that weren't so conducive to obtaining a euphoric mind state. But you don't have to go into it with like, okay, do we have our sitter? Okay, have we measured the mushrooms? Okay, where's the pads and paper? Okay, remember tomorrow we're going to talk about if our indigenous came. You don't have to do it like that.
Just prepare a little. If you've got kids, lock them in a crate in a garage.
There you
just
go. Sure, put them in the car. Make sure the Range Rover's locked so they can't get out.
I like who you're picturing. It's like an upper middle class.
No, I'm just picturing like this new, every summer. Inevitably, someone will like roast their kid in the car.
Yeah, they will. Did you see that video of that guy trying to see what it was like?
Yes.
And he's like, fucking pussy kids, they can die. Yeah. I'm just, and he's like barely alive.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
These fucking pussy kids. When he's clearly proving the point of don't do it, he's still trying to mock them.
Hey, fucking. By the way, before I forget, have I ever shown you the psychedelic experience?
No, what is that?
So. Timothy Leary and Richard Alpert, who became Ram Dass, and I think it was Metzger. I can't remember the other guy. They recognized the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is this book.
Who's Metzger? What Metzger?
Let me grab the book. Hang on.
Okay. Richard Metzger.
No. It's, Ralph Metzner.
Ralph Metzner.
I was getting him mixed up with a guy who does disinfo. Ralph Metzner. So this book, The Psychedelic Experience, this has in it most of what I was talking about.
Oh, really?
About like how to do the trip. But they recognize that the psychedelic trip seemed to exactly mirror the stages of death described in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is a book which is read to a person as they're dying, and after they die, they continue to read to the person. The idea being that
their traces are still there.
It's to guide the person into the next incarnation. So, whatever you think,
they call that a psychedelic experience, and they just want to like mimic that for these psychedelic experiences.
Well, they just noticed that these phases are what's called the bardos. They seem to. A very powerful psychedelic experience seems to mimic these bardos, which are the various phases that you go through as your physical body is dying.
Wow.
So they wrote this book as a guidebook for someone who is tripping, and they have all, and it's, you know, this is from the 60s, so it's kind of like, let me find it. It's obviously dated, but like these are like things that you could read to yourself or
during.
What? Yeah, during. Like yeah. What? So, like, here, I'll just read one. This is called Instructions for Vision 1, The Source. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me go to the beginning here. Yeah, it's just, this is like translated.
What's it called? I'll buy it right now.
This is called The Psychedelic Experience.
Psychedelic Experience.
And it's by Timothy Leary, Ralph Metzner, and Richard Alpert.
I'll buy it on the Amazon link on my website.
Before you buy it, let me read this. Because, you guys, this is from the 60s, guys. People were really freaking out back then. And it's a little – it's different now, but I'll read it to you. So this is what you read to someone tripping, maybe. First Bardo Instructions. Oh, Ari, the time has come for you to seek new levels of reality. your ego and the Ari game are about to cease. You are about to be set face to face with the clear light. You are about to experience it in its reality. In the ego-free state, wherein all things are like the void and cloudless sky, and the naked, spotless intellect is like a transparent vacuum, at this moment, know yourself and abide in that state. Oh, Ari, that which is called ego death is coming to you. Remember, this is now the hour of death and rebirth. Take advantage of this temporary death to obtain the perfect state, enlightenment. Concentrate on the unity of all living beings. Hold on to the clear light. Use it to attain understanding and love. If you cannot maintain the bliss of illumination, and if you are slipping back into contact with the external world, remember, the hallucinations which you may now experience, the visions and insights will teach you much about yourself and the world. The veil of routine perception will be torn from your eyes. Remember the unity of all living things. Remember the bliss of the clear light. Let it guide you through the visions of this experience. Let it guide you through your new life to come. If you feel confused, call upon the memory of your friends and the power of the person whom you most admire. And it goes on and on.
Oh.
Pretty cool, but I mean, you could see if you're tripping, that's like a wonderful thing. You can borrow that one for your week, your
really?
Little getaway. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'll take it with me.
Yeah, take it.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Thanks. Wow. Okay, a couple more things, and then we can be finished.
All right.
Thanks for doing this, by the
way. My pleasure.
Yeah. I'm glad. I was like, I need to do something for Shroomfest. I was like, oh, I'll be Duncan. Duncan.
Thanks.
Yeah. You stopped for a while, huh?
Stopped what?
Shrooms. What was that show you did for Comedy Central? What exactly did you do with mushrooms?
I ate mushrooms.
But every day for a month?
No, I just did it for this science show. It was like just a dumb gag, really. But I did eat mushrooms. But
they started turning on you?
No, they didn't turn on me. It was just like tripping and trying to like strike out Brody Stevens.
Oh, I remember you like it was just too much, and I just can't do them for a while.
The experience I told you about made me recognize that was the beginning of a process that's happened in my mind where I've just begun to respect psychedelics a little bit more than I used to.
Right, right.
And my, you know, I think I've had in the past a kind of gung-ho attitude with them, or a kind of like, I just don't think I was being respectful enough for what they can do to a person's consciousness. And I'm obviously clearly an advocate for taking psychedelics to improve your life, but I don't know, not to be a total prude, but somehow broadcasting blindly out into the world pro psychedelic stuff without like what I safety idea
the problems that could come from it.
I want people to have like great trips, and I would hate to think that like somebody blundered into a situation. And all that being said,
because of you mean
when I was a kid, you know, doing this stuff, I had zero
precautions.
Everybody worries
about it, but every 19-year-old is like, fuck it, I'll do it. They had a good memory.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. And I think that there's something to be said for that. And I think that it's not so much that these techniques or methods or these mind states are going to keep you from having a bad trip as much as they're going to amplify the good trip you're already going to have.
Yeah. What about casual mushrooms? I mean, I feel like I talked about cap. Capping a stem and be on with it.
Wonderful.
That's like a sort of a party type of
wonderful
mushroom use.
I think that microdoses are the most wonderful things, and when you
for
discover
house parties, man,
the
they're
best,
great.
The best.
You just giggle and you're there. Occasionally, you get a swimming pattern. Occasionally,
no, but if anything,
but barely at all.
You just get a kind of like
euphoria.
Euphoric, maybe a little bit like Adderall or something. A kind of like nootropic. Heightening of intelligence and ability to focus and become and listen more.
Think outside the box a little.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's the opposite of coke in that instead of like wanting to talk over people, you want to like really understand what they're saying. Like, whoa, I never thought of it that way.
Yes, that's a great way to put it.
When did you start thinking like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see when you're really able to listen to somebody like that, the effect it has on them.
On them.
It makes them feel so good.
Marijuana takes me away from that. Marijuana everything. Makes me like not really pay attention to people. Even it's if they're saying something interesting, I'm like, oh, cool.
Ugh, and you miss so much. And this is why I love like MDMA is such a, of all the drugs.
Yeah.
Man, for like really like listening to a person and giving somebody unconditional positive regard or really tuning into what they have to say.
Yeah.
No better drug for that.
I was, when I used to go to Vegas a lot with Rogan, you would too.
Yeah.
And then him and Eddie would drag us to nightclubs, which I'm just not into. I just don't like the loud music and the you can't hear anything, and it's not my aesthetic at all.
Nope.
But I would go because you're going on the weekend with these guys, and then I realized, oh, I can take ecstasy, and then I can handle it. And there was one time I was on it, and Shandra was there, and then later she's like, "Oh, you're being so cool," and I was like, "Oh yeah, I was super high on ecstasy that time." She's But like, that's why you're being cool.
Yeah.
Interesting. Tell me more.
Yeah.
What are the good, because this is my last thing. What are the good combos? So like, the way you say stay awake when you're on ecstasy, you were like, don't drink alcohol. It'll just dry you out. What are the good combos for mushrooms? They say like candy flipping or whatever flipping.
Well, okay. So the flipping thing, they've got, okay, candy flipping, which is LSD and mushrooms.
Oh, okay. No.
So, yeah.
LSD and mushrooms?
Now, I don't know. Maybe people have different
words. I thought it was LSD and ecstasy.
Oh, I'm sorry. LSD and ecstasy. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Sorry. You're right. LSD and ecstasy. And then flower.
LSD and mushrooms.
Then flower flipping.
What is that?
That is ecstasy and mushrooms. Mushrooms.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember what the other stuff was.
What about booze?
You could do it. But I've heard that it's like your liver is processing like maybe some toxins in the mushrooms and you don't want to overload your liver. It's like, just
when we did it in Calgary before the statute of limitations in another country.
Yes.
You were like, hey, you want to get a beer? I was like, nah. And you're like, I just remember going, yeah, man, whatever. I mean, you don't have to have a beer if you don't want to. I'll just have one. You don't have to have one.
Yeah.
I just love those moments.
You don't need, I think the alcohol is kind of like, it's like, okay, if you go,
it's fun to have a glass of wine. Yeah,
it's fun to have a glass of wine, and you could totally do it. But it's like once you start getting that heavy alcohol feeling mixed in with like this awesome psychedelic, then you do kind of feel like you've reduced the state. You know, it's
almost like that's good enough, man.
You're dimming the light.
That. Yeah,
you're dimming the light.
Dimming the light. Yeah. Have you ever done like mushrooms and like coke?
Oh hell no. No, I would never do that.
Would you even try it as an experiment if you're in your backyard alone?
No,
you wouldn't even.
I wouldn't do cocaine ever.
Have you ever?
Yeah, I hate it.
That's what everyone says. I hate it. I've done it like 50 times and it sucks.
No,
like,
I am not one of those people
up to that much.
I've done it, I'd say I've done it in my life probably 10 times, eight times, and that in the last time was easily over 6 years ago.
Twice.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Hate it.
It's terrible on people. So alcohol is like, eh, why? But whatever.
No, I remember somebody said, Google search this. I don't know. I haven't really looked it up, but I remember someone telling me that alcohol and mushrooms is not such a great mix because apparently your liver is processing the mushrooms and it is
weakens it.
It's overloading your liver because to make it process alcohol and the mushrooms or something. I didn't really look it up, but I do know that I know that with like, it just depends. You know, I was on as part of like, again, this funny gag I play where I like to take psychedelics, and I was taking acid and drinking wine at this vineyard. It was wonderful.
Yeah. When you were taking acid and drinking wine at the vineyard?
Yeah, it was great.
I want to see this dog go crazy when she comes home.
Oh, my girlfriend's home. Should we wrap it up?
Yeah. What are the last pieces of, I don't know, do you want to tell anything to these, what the fuck is wrong with my phone?
You deserve
love. Yeah. Taking the mushrooms for Shroom Fest?
Yes. You deserve love. You're a wonderful being, and you are a unique and perfect manifestation of the divine intelligence of the universe, and you are only here to love and be loved because you're made of love.
Happy Shroom Fest, everybody.
Happy Shroom Fest. Give me OE and 3 months. No, make it four. Anything else? Vitamin C, pills, and orange juice. What you drinking, gin? I do this is shrooms. Yeah.
yeah, that's some other shit. One of the reasons why George Clinton seized the mothership. I'll make you get fucked up, throwing up guts, and do it how you stuck with soft dick and can't fuck. Hold up. Now chew them up and slam the orange juice. Vitamin C, Chase, kill the taste. You can tell it's nasty by the look on my face. Don't get it twisted like a nigga's coked up and druggy down. See, but cannabis and mushrooms be coming from the ground. All natural, posted at the club, looking funny style. Tight slack, pimp, feather hat, where the bitches at here? We giving orders at the bar, holding money. When all of a sudden, all the people started looking funny and started looking runny and liquefied right before my very eye. This some different kind of high.
Motherfuckers is melted and shit.
Niggas and bitches walking by that I recognize. Feeling hypnotized, pupils dilated, changing size.
Boom. That's the episode, you guys. Thank you very much, Duncan Trussell. Your wisdom always guides me. He is a real smart guy, and he speaks a lot of times without ego. And guys, if you'd like to get closer to the way Duncan Trussell lives and acts, mushrooms wouldn't be a bad way to get there. They really help center you, guys. You really do. If you've wanted to know how to take mushrooms or anything about them, I'd like you to Google this for me. It's called, just Google the word Shroomfest Primer, P-R-I-M-E-R. And I wrote a very long, everything you need to know about mushroom use. I mean, I really thought it out. And if you see anything I'm missing, go ahead and email me, contact@arishafir.com. It's a work in progress, although it hasn't changed for about a year and a half because I haven't seen any new information that people should know. It's everything about how much to take, where to do it, how much it should cost, worries you might have, everything. But guys, I'm here to tell you, nothing bad's going to happen to you. The universe will look out for you. That's just the way of things with mushrooms. The universe will look out for you. All right, you guys. Thank you very much to Duncan Trussell. Again, everybody, check him out on Twitter, @Duncan Trussell, T-R-U-S-S-E-L-L. I am pretty sure. If that's not it, there's only one S, so there's only one L. But I'm pretty sure it's two of each. And that's it. I'm super fucking excited. I will be at a cabin in the desert with a bunch of friends. I got a secluded cabin. So I'll be away from every sort of... I need it, man. I need it. I'm working hard. By the way, thank you, my listeners, for tweeting for me. Jim Jeffries is doing the Storyteller Show. This is not happening. Storyteller Show. September 9th or 15th. We've got a real good lineup so far, you guys. Rob Corddry, Dale Hughley, the great Joe Rogan, the great Bert Kreischer, the greatest Joey Diaz, Jay Oakerson, Jim Jeffries. Whew, it's going to be great. It's going to be a really good one. Keegan-Michael Key. We got some really good names. And then we're filling in right now with like really, really good comics too. With no names. But that'll make the show great. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in every week. Happy Shroomfest, you guys. I'll see you on the other side of the universe. I'm so glad this holiday is taking off. Ew, booger came out of my nose right under the microphone. Taking it off and eating it. Yeah. Till next week, you guys. I'm glad I could put this out early. Hopefully it went up right. I'm going to time release it for Sunday. And then hopefully it works. And if it does, that's what I'll do when I'm in, I don't know, Australia. Where am I going? Denmark? Oh, I'll do one with Bobby Kelly while I'm there. All right, fuck it. We're done. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 179. A fun guy with Duncan Trussell. A Shroomfest episode. Goodbye. Oh, and don't forget, get tickets to my Bell House show in New York, August 21st. It's $15 ahead of time and $20 at the door. Get tickets. I need to sell them out. I need to sell it out. So get tickets now online. New York. There's like a lot of people in New York. There's like a lot. I've heard there's like a lot of people. So sell out the show, please. And tell your friend. Bring some friends. Zanies, just come if you want to come. I mean, you should come, but, you know, it's not as important. All right, you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Duck and Trestle. You're the greatest. Goodbye. Next time I'll do your podcast, I swear. But I don't swear to God because I don't believe in that stuff. See you on the other side of the universe. Happy Shrimp Fest.
I'm a superstar, a raging on your mix. You can have a go if you think you're gray, slick. Rick James, gang of four, non-blonde redhead. Automatic for the people mover in my bed. Head games all the same, burning up my eternal flame. Got me going and growing, showing throw mama from the train. I'm rocking Chang in the gang, block the sun with my Chinese hat. Baby, please cry for me, I'll steal your milk like a Siamese cat. Rats, gabies, I'll be damned. Yankee Donka, scream insane. Carl Libertina, Turner, not for that I will pay.
Creator juices getting loose, they going down like Grey Goose. Shotgun and easy running, who comes out my mouth is stirring. I'm the bell of the ball, in the land to see. Till I do anything for freedom, feed my iron, I think it's holy.
Maybe you missed something, press the 10-second back button. I eat karate chops like they were made of mutton. My man Adam Green Apple, quick step up to the streetcar named Desire, glass candy man on fire. Eastbound and down and out in Beverly Hills. The running man bites dog star Orson Welles. My sentence runs on golden palms, no bag of bones. I'm the next to Culkin, call me home alone. Ellen Page of innocence, you've been gone with the wind. Join my Ozo Motley crew and let the fun begin.
Creator juices getting loose, they're going down like Grey Goose. Shotgun and easy running, no comes out, my mouth is stirring. I'm the bell of the ball, in the land to see. Till I do anything for freedom, my IMDb is holy.
Everybody loves Raymond Burberry scarves. We're rocking to the booty beats of Jacob and Clark. Like a hard day's night, riders on the storm. I'm a poster on the wall of your college dorm. My words, they form a challenge like slap with the glove. Wish I could be Arthur Lee and get some golden girl love. Artie Rip Torn, Baby Bjorn, Ned Coleman. Patrick Swayze getting crazy when the grief sets in. All this Harry Pottery can feel like Azkaban. Scott Walker, Texas Ranger, putting handcuffs on.